across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Wow, this is going to be difficult with my headphones that don't properly work. But if I suddenly stop talking, it's either because I'm having a coughing fit and I've had to fade the slider down, or because I can't hear myself in the headphones. But we'll try and soldier through this. Lots and lots of football to talk about this week. United, well, it's difficult to know where to start, because after Reading and Lincoln, you'd kind of expect to have not really had much to report, given we've been playing Barnsley and then Wigan. But two wins in a row and two really good performances. And that was me. I said, I don't care if we beat Barnsley. I just want to see that we can put a really good performance in. And lo and behold, not only can we can beat them on the way. So plenty to talk about there with Matt later on. Histon, they lost their unbeaten run, nine in a row, well, eight if you count the draw and then losing on penalties in the cup. They got beaten by Desborough 3-1, but straight back in winning ways. They beat God Manchester today 5-1. They've got Leicester Nirvana next week. City, their torrid time continues. Beaten by Rushden and Diamonds on Tuesday, a very, very poor game. Beaten on Saturday 4-2 by Bedworth, and beaten 4-0 today by Corby. We're hoping to get in touch with both Chris and Robbie. Robbie might not be quite as happy. And then in the women's football, United lost 2-0 to Worthing with a very, very depleted side, and City lost 4-2 to Seawood. I think they're all but down this year. And you can get in touch with us if you want, talk about anything. You can text us on 07919 070490. That's 07919 070490. Or you can email studio@cambridge105.co.uk. We'll start, as we always do, with Cambridge United. So I'm joined in the studio by Daniel Baker, who you know, obviously sat in for me on a number of shows so far this season. And I'm hoping that we're going to be joined by Matt, but he might be out celebrating. So it will depend on sobriety and the level of phone signal inside the pub and the noise that's being made there as well. Hopefully he's not in a Cambridge United pub, otherwise we've had it. Daniel, it's really interesting, isn't it? You get a new manager after so much messing around with a manager that didn't stay for very long. The new manager bounce doesn't appear. I think we were just so shell-shocked by what had happened, and the players were, you know, really, really... They just got used to a new manager, and now so they've got to do it again, and that didn't happen. We had two atrocious performances, Lincoln midweek and then Reading away, shipped, 10 or 11 goals in two games? So I think it was 10 goals in two games. And it really just like it was all over. You looked at what we'd still got to play over Easter, and with Barnsley and Wigan and then Blackpool coming up immediately after that, you kind of figured, well, there's no points there to be had. So we've really got to win, two, possibly three more games in order to stave off relegation. And it didn't look like there was a way we were going to do it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I thought Monk would probably start to come good after a few games. I think he talked about adapting. You know, he hasn't had anything to work with, really, in terms of adding extra players, and he's had to work with what he's got. When I say nothing to work with, what I mean, nothing extra to work with. These are the players he's had to do. He's had to adapt. He's talked about that quite a lot. But something's clicked. You know, on the evidence we've seen on the two performances, he's got Gassan firing. He's come back from injury, of course, and he's now firing. So that's really good. And then there just seems to be a more confidence, and that is often the key, isn't it? That confidence that you need for good performances. So something's really clicked, and I think that, you know, I think it's only 4 points. It's 4 points from safety now, isn't it? I think it was three before, and obviously the teams around them winning means the gap is, You're still quite close, but even so.
Yeah, we were. I mean, we were a little unlucky. Although to be fair, Port Vale and Cheltenham would have been much more happy about the Barnsley result because they both won difficult games, and we managed to beat Barnsley, so they didn't actually get any closer to us. And I think this time round, I think it's actually all gone for us because I think everybody else lost. So if you look at the league table now, I think we are actually, I think we're 5 or even 6 points clear, aren't we now? Let me just have a quick look at this. Cambridge 19th on 45 points. Yeah, Port Vale on 39 points. So we are...
it's bigger than I thought. I thought it was only 4 points.
Yeah, we're six points clear now. I think, I said 50 is normally roughly where the problem turns up. I thought it was going to be a much lower scoring one this time. I think if we can pick up another 3 points, I think we're safe. If we can get 4 or even 6, I think we're definitely safe. And we have got games in hand over some of the clubs above us and Burton below us. Cheltenham have still got games in hand, but I think, you know, it's going to be between Cheltenham, Port Vale, Burton, Cambridge and possibly Reading. I don't think they're necessarily going to get involved in it, but they could do. But I think I'm much more confident now that we're actually going to be safe. I think
50 points was something they talked about, wasn't it? You know, this is the thing that I think Neil Harris used to talk about, didn't he? The 50 point thing. I'm sorry to swear on air, Tim, but that feels a bit like that, doesn't it?
It's a good job I haven't got Matt on the other end of the line. He'd have had something to say about
Neil Harris, but no, I think Monk talked about it as well, didn't he? The 50 point thing, and I think that they are. Well, not that far off now, really. So you'd like to think so. I mean, you're never safe until you're safe. That's the thing. Until you know it's mathematically sorted, then, you know, you don't count your chickens. I mean, just last Leicester City, you know, they say all that way in front of the Championship, the gap's been closed. So it just goes to show, really, that you should never sort of get too ahead of yourself. But at the same time...
Our city shouldn't, no doubt. I mean, that's Cambridge City, not Manchester City.
Oh, yeah,
I'll
talk about that later. That'd be interesting, yeah.
Yeah, let's see if we can get... Hang on a second. Let's see if we can get Matt on the other end of the phone and see what he's got to say. Hopefully he will be somewhere where we can actually talk to him relatively easily. There's absolutely nothing coming through there. Why is that not coming through? Oh, yes. Matt, are you there?
Hey Tim, how you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Sorry, that didn't even ring. I don't quite know what didn't happen there. But so I guess you're out probably drinking now, just to kind of wake yourself up and see what on earth happened over the last 3 or 4 days. I mean, you know, what a difference 10 days of working with a manager makes, and getting a right hammering from him, no doubt, at the start of those 10 days. He's had a lot of praise for the way in which the players have responded to it, and I guess, you know, we'll have a lot of praise for what the players have responded to because they look a different team. I don't know who's kidnapped Ghassan Hadme and substituted in someone we've never seen before, because he's playing like a trooper at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hard work that's gone in through the international break with, you know, the players that have been available, of course, during those training sessions have, you know, really changed, you know, our fortunes all over. We spoke last week on the show, didn't we, that, you know, we needed to see a response from these players, that the last two performances that they had put in were completely unacceptable, you know, from them, and that they were better than, you know, what they had showed in the Lincoln and the Reading away games. And, you know, over this Easter period, with, you know, two tough games where we probably expected, you know, maybe a point at best if we were lucky. You know, they've picked up 6, you know, maximum points. You know, we've scored, you know, 5 goals in it, conceded 1, and we've now suddenly got some momentum into this team, which had, you know, completely and utterly been, you know, taken away and destroyed. And, you know, fair play to Gary Monk. You know, we asked for a reaction from him as a manager. He's certainly given us that. We're playing a new formation. You know, he's brought in players, you know, Mamadou Diop being one of them, you know, has come in. And as you say, Ghassan Hadme now looks like a man possessed in the, you know, the game and a half that he's kind of played. And but everybody, they look more organised now. They look a lot more focused, and they look a lot more sharper than what they have done over the previous weeks. And, you know, as I say, the hard work that they've put in has paid off over this Easter weekend. And, you know, basically those two wins now have put us almost, not quite, but almost on the brink of, you know, being safe in League One for this season. And it's a turn up for the books when as I say, after that Reading game, we looked absolutely destroyed as a team, devoid of confidence, devoid of ideas, and the players looked totally and utterly shot. So, you know, fair play to all of them. They'll take the credit and the plaudits this weekend because they deserve it. You know, they've turned it around and proved us all wrong again, like we were hoping for last Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to take it back, all of this talk of relegation. But, I mean, it is amazing. I mean, it's like the new manager bounce has come. It's just come after 2 weeks. And I guess that's the difficulty of slotting in when, you know, you're the second manager in the space of less than 80 days. People are a bit shell-shocked, the players. They've just learned, you know, the way one manager wants to play, and all of a sudden they've got another manager in place. So it's kind of not surprising. And I think, you know, everyone was holding their breath about the fact whether it would work, whether Gary Monk was the right, you know, appointment. And those 10 days, I mean, we are lucky. We'll have to make that very clear to have that break. We normally moan about the break, but it came at absolutely the right moment for us and has helped us massively in what we've tried to do. But it does seem, you know, you would have thought with the performances we had, you'd have looked at whether those players were actually capable of, you know, acting on instructions, because they seem to be totally, you know, devoid of any enthusiasm to play, which I think was the thing that most people found unacceptable. Yes, we may not be good enough to beat teams, but if we're not trying, then that's unacceptable. And not only have they proved us wrong, that they've come back and really made an effort, but they've had two wins, and yes, there's been luck on our side for, you know, for probably both of them, but in the end it wasn't a smash and grab. It was a genuine win, and it was a good win. And I think, you know, we can go to Blackpool and be far less concerned about what the result might have been, because it may be that actually if we keep this up, you know, it's not beyond the realms of possibility that Blackpool are beatable as well. And I think you're right. I think we've got 45 points now. I think certainly 3, possibly 4 points is going to keep us safe, and it might actually be already we're safe, depending on what other results get. But It is such a change around, and I think it's obvious that, you know, given the personnel haven't changed, that Gary Monk's really swept through this side and actually got them to play in a different style.
Yeah, absolutely. And I, as I say, and like you said as well, those couple of, you know, weeks that he's had, you know, he's been able to drill things into the players that he didn't have really chance for when he first came in. You know, we were playing Tuesday, Saturday, you know, he's having just to stick a team out and try and do something with those players. Yeah, that, you know, they had no real time on the training ground to, you know, show, you know, any ideas that he did have and the way that he wanted them to play. Because, you know, one day might have been, you know, looking at tapes and, you know, how teams play and all that, and then, you know, an hour or two on the training pitch, but nothing major. And then he might have had one full day for the players to train, and then suddenly, you know, it's into match preparation, and then, you know, the boys have got a day off, and you know, he's losing more time there as well. But, you know, with the players that were about, you know, during the international break, they've taken on the instructions. You know, he's been able to get over his ideas and the way he wants to play. As I say, you know, changing to the three at the back, which we did mention, you know, earlier in the season, was that an idea for us with the centre-halves we had at the time. You know, it's his favourite style of playing as well. And, you know, one of the key things, I think, is, you know, the fact that when Gary came in, he said, you know, straight away that I've got to play to the way that the players are used to playing, the way that they've been coached, you know, while I've not been here. You know, and then he's had his own time to be able to coach the way he wants them to do things, not what they've been used to, and, you know, the way that they've done things beforehand, you know, and they've taken it on board. And as you say, you know, we have ridden our luck. You know, the Barnsley game, you know, you can look at it and quite clearly say, you know, they should have probably scored. You know, they had 4 absolute sitters that they should have scored from, but it's that luck that we haven't had all season that, you know, we suddenly earned with our performance. And, you know, we got our own goal, which, you know, started off the ball rolling at Barnsley, but then our second goal was a goal of real quality, you know, a set piece, a really good ball into the box, and Gassan heads it home. But we should have had one before that as well. And you look at today's performance as well, where you know, we knew we weren't going to have much of the ball, but it was all about the off-the-ball work again. And then when we had our moments, could we do something with it? And it's exactly what we did. And again, we've had a bit of the luck, you know, that Will Mannion's made a good penalty save. You know, there's one or two other balls in the box that just drifted wide. But yeah, so you work hard to make your own luck, and it's something that we absolutely have done today, and we scored, you know, two really good goals, and you know, one of the best free kicks I've seen out there, you know, this team scoring in a long, long time, and you know, we thoroughly deserved it in the end, and as I say, fair play to them. And as you say, that Blackpool game, now we don't need to worry so much. It's sort of one of my favourite free kick games, which I always enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's one of those ones. It's always a nice trip. It'd probably be not quite as warm as we'd like for it, but and it might even be raining, but that'd be Blackpool for you. But yeah, we go there in a completely different mood. You can tell. I mean, the atmosphere at the Abbey was obviously just amazing. The atmosphere at, you know, in Barnsley was amazing as well. So, you know, fans get on board really quickly, just as quickly as they get off board if they don't like what they're seeing. And I think they've got a lot to be, you know, to be very happy about. Let's listen to what I was going to call him Mark. There's a real throwback there. Let's listen to what Gary Monk had to say following the Wigan game.
So, Gary, you're very keen for your side to follow up on the win at Barnsley. They've done that. It's turned into the perfect Easter, really.
Yeah, it has, in terms of the points and stuff. And yeah, different type of performance today in terms of, obviously, it had to be a bit more gritty game, wasn't it? It was a little bit scrappy at times, but I think overall the level of commitment to these two games has been huge, and they've got their deserved results. I think it's like I said with the staff, and we all knew that's within them, and we dipped below that in the two games before, but I think what we've seen in these two games is proof of what we kind of knew, what was under the bonnet. So I'm delighted for the players, really am. Like, they've been, I said it, that international break was a real proof to me that they've got commitment. And I think, like, then I'm a true believer in you preparing like that, you'll take it onto the pitch, and they've definitely taken that onto the pitch in these last two games, and it's great to come away with 6 points. Perfect, great to be back here and get the first win for myself under the belt, but the other flip side of that is there's still more work to do. Yeah, it's given us a great boost and belief and all those things, confidence and all the stuff we talked about before, but we've got to be mindful there's still more work to do, so we're not going to rest on our laurels because we've had 6 points and a couple of good performances. We need more, so that's what we're going to push for.
They've adapted very well to a new formation, the wing-back system. How easy a decision was it to go with that again today after the win at Barnsley, Gary?
Well, when you have two games like we had against Lincoln and Reading, I think solidity is probably one word that you need to think about. So no, we tried to solidify that, but try and keep an attacking threat. And it's early days with that type of... But really, it's identifying what we're playing against. It won't always be that system. But, like, the main thing for me is whatever system you choose and tactics and stuff like that, yes, it plays a part. But the main thing is the commitment within it and that desire and that character that needs to go with it. And I think that was probably what's been missing in those two games, or not to the levels that we expect. So, but I think, don't think anyone can question these two games in terms of the level of desire and character and what you need. And I think what we did today was our goals came in good moments, didn't they? I think, we scored obviously two up. It looked comfortable, didn't it? And then they get that goal, and then there's a test of character. And then Danny, what an amazing free kick. Obviously, Will saves the penalty. It's a crucial moment. And I think when you put that determination there, those things turn your way a little bit more. Whereas maybe before, you feel like it's all against you, like we did at Lincoln and Reading. So, yeah, I'm just delighted for the players. I'm delighted for our fans and everyone. I'm delighted for the fans to see that, because often you get questioned in these situations, don't you, if players are fighting for that shirt or they've got the character to do it. So I think they've answered that in these last two games, and I think the fans will appreciate that, which they did today. But we need to continue that for sure. 6 points is good, but we need more.
In terms of desire, you mentioned the word a number of times there. Certainly plenty of it from Gassana Hadmi. Two goals today. How important is it for him to be back in the fold now after his injury?
Yeah, look, he's obviously injured when I come in, and just coming back, and then you've got to be careful. Like, you've got to build them up a little bit. But he came on against Barnsley and was a machine. He was an animal. And you saw today, it's exactly what we need. Do you know what I mean? He sets the tone at the front in these last two games when he's come on, and then obviously today. And he's a handful, isn't he? Thing is, when I look at strikers, I always look at him from a centre-back point of view, thinking, would I like to play against that, or what would I do against that? And he's one of them awkward strikers that you feel like you could probably outstrength, but he's strong, he's deceptively strong, and he's willing, he's game, and he's got quality. So I'm delighted for him, and but for all the guys, you know, like I think it's been a real team effort. Even the lads you haven't seen come on the pitch, and a couple of the guys that aren't in the squad, the level of commitment in the international break was huge, and I think that's what's carried us through in these two games. But I keep going back to it, which is the truth, we need more points, so we need to a couple of days to refresh, but then get ready for Blackpool.
You must mention Will Mannion, obviously came into the side on Friday after Jack's injury, kept a clean sheet there, saved a penalty, really strong hand, but a bit of suspicion about the award of the penalty perhaps?
Yeah, there's always suspicion, isn't there? It's all right when you've won the game, you don't question it as much. Probably be fuming if I was still here and it was, if we weren't. So, yeah, but no, fantastic. But like anything, obviously Jack had that injury, and you know, as much as you don't want to see that for players, we can't afford injuries. It's always an opportunity for someone else, and Will's taking that opportunity, isn't he? He's doing really well with it. And yeah, I don't normally watch penalties. I decided to watch this one today, so maybe I'll keep watching them now if we're going to make saves like that. But he deserves that. Contributed really well in these two games, and yeah, been solid and really good with it. So but I think overall the whole team, the squad, have shown a fantastic attitude towards the work and the two games. So it just shows, that's the main thing, it just shows what they can do. And we played good opposition as well. And it just shows what they can do. So yeah, we can try, and the aim is to continue that.
Obviously, Danny's third goal, absolutely brilliant free kick on his 50th appearance for the club as well. Pretty much sealed the win, but there was a lot of work to do, and you'll be pleased with how well organised and resilient the side were aside of the goals.
Yeah, look, and it's difficult because, like, within that, you sacrifice a little bit of that pressure on the ball higher up, and you're always debating that stuff as a coach and stuff like that. But come off the back of a good win against Barnsley, where a bit of a different game, but we controlled them well. I think overall we really controlled Wigan really to the areas that we were letting them get to us. And it was about dealing with those situations. I think more often than not we did deal with it. The one time we didn't, they obviously scored from it. But I can't be harsh on the players. The last two games have been a really high level of performance and attitude and everything. And that's kind of the standard, isn't it? That's what we've got to set ourselves and hold ourselves accountable to.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, that is the standard we now expect, rightly so, because we've seen it a couple of times. That leads to the frustration of, you know, there's plenty of games during the season would have been much easier to win than those games, and yet we couldn't do it. But also it means that now if we have a bad game against Blackpool, you know, you've set your stall out, this is how good we are. It's good because they've got to behave like that every week, but of course they don't, and that's where it always runs into trouble, Matt.
Yeah, and this is the thing is, you know, we've said it many a time on the show that that level of performance that they've put in with the organisation and, you know, wanting to, you know, fight for the shirt and, you know, the determination in the team is something that has been lacking in recent weeks. And but we know it's been there, you know, that, and that's the infuriating thing. You know, we don't mind losing, you know, 4-0 at Reading or 6-0 at Lincoln, if we're going out there and we're putting in performances like we have over the two games, because then you just hold your hands up and say you've been beaten by a better side. Whereas, you know, those two games, we've just not bothered. And as soon as the first goal has gone in, we've given up. You know, we're throwing in the towel and that's it. You know, this time, you know, these two games, they've shown the resilience. You know, they've shown the organisation that we are capable of, you know, that we have been doing for a, you know, quite a while through this season, you know, under Neil, a bit under Mark, and then, you know, now under Gary. But it's got to become consistent, you know, and that's the issue. That's how you stay in this league, you know, season on season, is that consistency. So it's something that we're going to need again. Like Gary says, you know, we need to go at Blackpool and do exactly the same thing. But, you know, we can go there with a little bit more momentum, you know, a little bit of fight and desire, you know, that run, you know, that we can win games of football now. And even if we are going to win it, we can dig in and make it difficult, you know, for the opposition. But as I say, they're going to have to show that level because, you know, Blackpool are a really good side. And, you know, it's going to be tough. But, yeah, you know, it's really, really good. And the players are performing, those that have been out of the team for a little while for one reason or another are now putting in good performances. Those that have been in the team that, you know, we've question why, you know, why are they in the team? Because they don't deserve to be. And they're starting to respond and show us exactly why that they've been kept in the team. So, yeah, you know, it's all positive. And the same results have gone our way today, which they didn't do on Friday. But, you know, the sooner we get to that sort of 48 or, as you say, you know, potentially 49 or maybe even 50 point mark, the better it is for us. And then, you know, we can go and try and do some different ideas against, you know, other teams. So, but yeah, you know, starts again this Saturday, doesn't it? Away at Blackpool, and obviously that won't be an easy game. And those players have got to go out there and they've got to perform again. And let's hope they do, because yeah, I've just bought tickets today, so I'm going on Saturday. I better do.
Yeah, and it is interesting. I mean, we've got three home games left and four away games. So we've got Charlton a week on Saturday. So that now becomes a really big game, because I think Charlton at home are eminently beatable, and Wickham as well at home. So we could pick up we could pick 6 points up from that. And I think that would definitely see us safe. We could probably pick up four and probably see us not needing to win at Vale Park. And perhaps a draw might do, or perhaps we won't even need it and we can all relax and play a decent game of football against a team that we want to beat, but very rarely do out there. But Matt, thanks very much for joining us. We shall talk to you again next week.
Take care, Tim.
Cheers. So, Danny, I mean, it is interesting, isn't it, that, you know, we've had what's been an atrocious period, and you could argue that, you know, it started under Bonner and it carried on through Neil Harris, because everyone raved about Neil Harris, obviously, until he left, and then everyone decided he was awful. But he only got us an extra point and an extra place in his time there. Now, and admittedly, it wasn't very long. They did start to look like they were playing, and I think it was exacerbated by the fact that when Gary Monk comes in, they decided to give up playing for a couple of games and it looked awful. But the recovery we had at this time last season, which it strangely enough started at Port Vale, does appear to be coming round again. We are seeing a side with fight, but it is frustrating that they don't do it all season long.
Yeah, it is, and that's the thing. You want consistency across the season. You don't want to be making too much extra work for yourself, because this is the thing. Teams sometimes end up doing it the hard way, and you can't keep persistently doing it the hard way, you know, because then eventually, you know, there's always a risk that you might get relegated if you actually start escaping. But, you know, it's just so true. You know, they left it quite late last season, of course, ended up getting away with it, pulling off that great escape. And obviously it's a great feeling when you do escape from a relegation battle, but there's also an argument to say you should never have been in one in the first place. That's often what fans say, isn't it, about things. But you look at those games coming up. Yeah, I think you're right. There is definitely 6 points available out of 18 there quite easily, I think. So, and you just don't know. I mean, that there's, in the case of Port Vale, I mean, they, you know, they could well be fighting for their lives on the final day. I think Derby, obviously, they've got something to play for because they're in the automatic promotion race, and if not, they'll be in the playoffs either way. So still, you know, there's a few where I think, you know, not much to play for. Bristol Rovers don't think they've got very much to play for, but certainly from those games, 6 out of 18 is doable, and definitely some games where, because there's things riding on it, you'd expect desire, you'd expect things, the contest to be extra competitive.
Yeah, we would. Thanks as usual to the FA, because Bristol on a Tuesday evening, great piece of scheduling that, mate. You know, that is, your computer needs to be amended to actually realise that people have to get to these places. But there we go. Okay, we'll take a quick break and then we'll talk about Histon and City. When I actually I was completely just looking at the board there to figure out which bit of music I was going to play without actually pressing a button. So let's take a quick break.
Broadcasting from the city centre.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
City. What can you say about City at the moment? Still no ground. That's the first thing you can say about them. And it's almost like it's a make-believe thing. It'll happen when it happens, and I'll believe it on the first day that we actually walk into it. We are assured it will be next season, but we've been assured before that it will be at a particular time. I can't see how they could fail to make it ready. The shell is all there. They've gone out for tender for the internal fixings, and I know that Robbie is spending lots and lots of time there trying to to make sure that these things happen, as are a whole host of other volunteers at the club. They desperately need to get in there and start doing it. The problem at the moment appears is to be whether they'll have a bar ready, which does seem to be a bit, you've got this nice facility and you're going to bring people in to come and have a look at it, but if they can't buy anything, then it's not going to work very well for you. But we shall see on that. On the pitch, well, it's not going well at the moment, and the only saving grace is that they've got a bit of a buffer zone. I very much doubt. I mean, there's what, 38 games in the league, so there's four games left to play, so only 12 points. It is now down to 7 points, the gap between Gresley, who are at the top of the relegation zone, to Cambridge City. Rushden and Diamonds, who win again today. They beat City on Tuesday in a terrible, terrible performance. I was going to play Robbie, but I think we might run out of time, but I might do that because it was interesting to hear what he got to say. He just admitted that his team didn't turn up. Rushden and Diamonds, who are fighting for their very lives, needed to get a result, and they did. I did think today, though, I mean, they were playing Harborough today, and unless I'm very much mistaken, they've actually just knocked Harborough off the top spot in the league, which makes you wonder what on earth they're doing at the moment. I mean, they are looking like they're going to be safe at this rate, which will be even more frustrating for, you know, for their fans when they see that if they can beat Harborough, who are, you know, fighting to win the league. I mean, they've literally reversed the positions there. Spalding go point clear. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Sorry about that. So they'll be disappointed that it didn't happen earlier on. But I think Cambridge City are safe, but it's not very good. Let's listen, before we talk about anything, let's listen to what Robbie had to say following the Rushden and Diamonds game.
So, Robbie, a wet night in Rushden and Diamonds, and not really a great day at the office.
No, it's one of those, Tim. You know, we started the game very brightly, scored the goal, but, you know, you're always wary of a wounded animal when, you know, they're on the back of two performances and results that over the last 2 months is probably uncharacteristic of their performances. You know, they've been second in the form table, and you can see why. You know, they get the ball forward, they've got lads that run forward, they've got good energy, and, you know, sadly, like for us, we miss key players at key times, and today, no one really stood up and was counted. And, you know, we looked very vulnerable from set plays and any ball that was in the box. You know, our clearances, they've got two throws that they can throw into the box from either side, and we're gifting throw-ins 20 yards out so they can launch it into our box. And all in all, it's a bad day at the office. And I think, you know, I just spoke in there, it's have a bit of pride. You know, you might sit there and think the season's done, but, you know, let's be respectful to the league and the club that you play for, because, you know, a lot of people have come out tonight, paid their money, travel here to watch their team, and we haven't turned up. And that's hurtful for me, because I've been involved with a football club for a long, long time, and I don't think I've seen a performance so bad since I've been here, certainly. And I think, you know, I'm not one for excuses or anything like that. We just weren't at the races from minute five through till 95, and credit to Rushden. You know, they were on it, they were at it, and sometimes in football you have to hold your hand up. They were better than us on the night. We didn't turn up, which is very, very disappointing.
I was going to say, that seemed to characterise certainly the last 50 minutes of the game, 60 minutes of the game. You just didn't, they looked like they wanted it more than you did.
Yeah, well, look, they're at the bottom of the league, and every point and every tackle and everything they do means something. And when we're sitting in a place where, I don't know, people think we're safe, I you know, after that performance, I wouldn't be so sort of, you know, cut and dried that we are, you know. But look, we've been making good progress over the last 6 weeks, and, you know, bringing in Trey Charles, you know, another signing that for me, hopefully into next season, is a big player. He hasn't played an awful lot. You know, we wanted to get him out there today because, you know, we want players that can improve us. And I thought the first 15 minutes, he showed glimpses of what he can do. And I think, you know, he's somebody I feel that will do well for us. But tonight wasn't a night for, you know, sadly, we just got bullied all over the park. And I think, you know, that's the hardest thing for me to take, is you know, the soft goals that we've conceded are, you know, every single one of them are avoidable. And, you know, we haven't, other than the first 10 minutes, we haven't really tested their keeper. You know, we're playing, no disrespect to them, you know, we're playing bottom of the league and we haven't really mustered too much going forward. And, you know, there's lots to work on. You know, we've got training Thursday. You know, I thought having a 10-day break would have done us good, but it's obviously backfired massively. But look, we go again Saturday, Monday, two big games, and you know we need to see a response from certainly tonight. That's for sure.
And as you say, there's a gap there between you and the relegation zone, but anything can happen at this stage of the season.
Well, yeah, you've got two games over the weekend. If you're not lucky enough to get anything, and they all get points behind you. And look, it's a tough ask, I know. You know, they haven't won five games all season, a lot of them. So to win the three or four games they need to catch us, it's a big ask. But we need to worry about us and concentrate on performances. Like, we've worked the last three sessions about how we want to play and how we want to be better. And tonight it was... You could see we got it wide, we got in good areas first 10, 15 minutes, and then we just took our foot off the gas and allowed them, you know, very sloppy goals, to be honest, to allow them back in the game. And it was a point then where we just couldn't handle everything they threw, and they were just relentless in what they did. And when you're like that as a team and you're very vulnerable, you know, we missed Joe Welsh in goal, we missed Taylor Parr at the back, but people have got to stand up and take responsibility. You know, they talk about wanting to be better than step four. Well, you need to prove it at step four first before you want to go further. And there's a lot of questions over a lot of players after tonight's performance.
Yeah, and it is interesting to understand, you know, what he's saying. I mean, they have... They really... I mean, yes, OK, you're playing against a Rushden and Diamond side who are absolutely rejuvenated. Harborough, they beat top of the league 2-0 today. But you've got to make the effort. And this is that, and that's what was so annoying about, you know, the Lincoln and the Reading game is we lost. Yeah, OK, they're good sides. We lost two, potentially. But we lost because we didn't actually turn up and play football. And City did exactly the same thing. And unfortunately for them, it's not really got any better as well. They then went on to lose 4-2 to Bedworth, who was struggling at the bottom. And now they've gone on and lost 4-0 against Corby. I'm going to try, not now, because he's just not responding. His phone's just not ringing at the moment. So whether he's out of action... So I'm going to try him later on. But in the meantime, we can talk quickly about
Across
Kiston.
The city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
From the terraces on Cambridge 105 Radio.
When we come back, we'll be talking all things Kiston.
Out in the country, far from all the subtle noise.
So, it's interesting, isn't it? We talked, I know those Histon fans who we were talking to when Lance Key lost the job. I mean, first of all, they were very disappointed. Lance obviously had a huge background with Histon, had some very successful times with them, some less successful times with them. Although, as it turns out, it was a really good thing in the end. People were upset that he'd gone. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And Chris has been very respectful in his time since coming in about it, you know, about the whole thing. But I questioned at the time whether getting a Rushden and Diamonds manager who was losing games left, right and centre was the best idea for Histon. And it turns out that, you know, that swap of managers was something that suited both clubs. Rushden make a huge improvement and Histon do as well. And, I mean, it's not because Histon have bought in lots of players. It's because... Chris has managed to get something out of what's a really, really young side. And I'll try and talk to him as well. This is what he had to say following the Desborough game. They played Aylston Park, if you remember, last weekend, and had a really good game. Top two form teams in the league, and it was a really good game of football on league day, and they get a win out of it. Then a very different game, Desborough, who are struggling at the bottom to try and get points, come to Bridge Road, and this is what he had to say following that, because that wasn't a great game for them. This is him. Chris, another big crowd at Bridge Road. Not the same outcome as last week. Not a great game for you.
No, disappointing performance. We started okay, not brilliant, okay. Restricted them to... There was no real chances either, really, for any team I can remember of any significance. But it was men against boys today, if I'm being honest. I thought they were a lot bigger than us, stronger than us, more experienced than us. And the young boys we've got were just a little bit... We were just off the pace today, you know, and that's going to happen with young players. You know, I said it before, Andy, when expectation levels start to grow, can you deal with it? And today, we just got bullied. You know, we got bullied. I just didn't think physically we could handle their strength. Obviously, playing an hour with 10 men doesn't help, you know, but that's football. And we tried to have a go, but we were conscious of trying to stay in the game at 1-0. But overall, you know, the best team won on the day. And as I've said, it's what's to be expected when you've got young players. You know, you're going to have them inconsistencies. And today, and in fairness, I'd probably say over the recent games, we've been unable to put together a plan B or a plan C because of the players' availability. And today it showed. Connor Barnes and Zoukar, two wide boys, both missing, caused us a problem today because we had to play a formation that we had been playing and been working. But today we fell short, and like I say, they deserved their win.
Yeah, as you say, I mean, it's a young team. We've talked about this before. There's a lot of promise in there, but never really got into your stride at all in that game.
No, I think it was... like I said, I think it was men against boys. I thought their experience showed and their physicality showed, and we struggled to deal with it, you know. And that's the thing where in the summer I'd like to think I'd be able to address that with two or three lads to come in. Unfortunately, it's not something we've been able to do this year. But, you know, sometimes you just need a reality check. And the side that we've got compared to, you know, and I'll be perfectly honest, financially what we've got here is obviously not a lot financially because we've got a very, very young team. And I'm not going to throw any of these boys under the bus because today a lot of them were sort of fours and fives out of ten. But that's the first time we've lost after two draws and six wins. And we've had some brilliant games. And that run started on the back of a 5-0 defeat to Daventry. And we picked ourselves up and brushed ourselves down. Can we do that again? You know, are we capable of doing that again? And as a manager, that's the first thought, is this game is now done. We move on to the next, and that's 48 hours away. So I'm not going to say anything negative about the players individually, other than today we got bullied, we got out-experienced, and there wasn't a lot. As a management team, we felt there wasn't a lot we could do with some of the boys we've got missing, you know. And but we keep going, you know. We keep smiling. We had a big crowd, 268 here today. I thank them massively. I think it shows that the club's still got potential to get big crowds, and if you're successful, and we've got to make sure that, you know, that firstly we apologise for the performance today. It wasn't lack of effort, because I know them boys, and I also know they'll be hurting. It's just today, out experienced and out bullied.
And as you say, it's onwards and upwards. It's on to God Manchester on Monday. Not a long gap between those games.
No, it's not. I mean, you know, I don't know if enough are going to have anyone back. We had a couple of knocks today. I think Matty Hayden will be struggling for Monday, unfortunately. He struggled a bit with his back today, so that looks unlikely. But overall, you know, look, we've been on a terrific run. All runs come to an end. I said at half time, how good would it be if we could come back with 10 men? Didn't happen. But again, like I said, it wasn't through lack of effort just today. It just wasn't to be. But I want to give the boys praise because they have been outstanding in recent games, and it's just that consistency level that we haven't got, and just that squad depth that we haven't got. But we'll be addressing that.
So we were just talking about it in the studio. I mean, it's promotion winning. If you look at since Daventry, and this is going to be, I'm going to be embarrassing now because I'm going to try and add these things up as I go along. But if you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 losses since Chris Nunn came in, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 wins, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 draws. That's across all competitions because I couldn't look at both columns at the same time and work out which one was which. But I mean, that's a good record in anybody's books, and they don't update their league, unfortunately, very often. So I'll have to give you the league, and it's probably not reflecting the results because they don't appear to be in yet. But I think they're 12th currently in there. So you know, it's 11th, and they had the potential, depending on how Bugbrook and Daventry did, they could actually go, well, they could certainly go above Bugbrook. They could be on the same points, but a worse goal different than Daventry. Strange enough, a worse goal difference by roughly the 10 goals that they conceded against Daventry. So if they hadn't done that, they might be above them. So, but Chris has certainly done really well there, and it's really good to see that. I was going to call him, but I've got women's football to talk about, and I cut it short last week. So I'm not going to do that. We'll chat with him during the week, and we'll play those out on the various sports bulletins during the week. Contrasting form in the women's, United have got really nothing to play for apart from the plate final and Pride. In the league, they won't be promoted, they won't be relegated. City, on the other hand, unfortunately, are likely to be relegated at the end of this season. A very young side, just struggling to be savvy enough, really, to make the most of their chances, because they've had plenty. And I feel, you know, I do feel for them. They are a young side. Sometimes it's been very difficult to even field a side, but they're on 9 points. Chesham, who are above them, are on 16 points. So a 7-point difference with, what, 4 games left to play is going to be really, really difficult, especially when you look at the two of the games are against Worthing and Norwich, so second and third in the league. So it's not going to be, and I think this is probably not actually up to date, because I think Seawood was the fourth game that they've still got to play. So, oh, sorry about that. It's not great. It doesn't look good for them. Spoke to Darren after the last game against Seawood, and this is what he had to say.
It's another disappointing result, 4-2 this afternoon against London Seawood. That's on the back of obviously the two defeats against Wimbledon and the more important one, Haywards Heath Town. It leaves you second from bottom now, 7 points adrift of Chesham and Sudbury, although Sudbury have played two more games than you. But it's looking increasingly difficult to see how you can get yourself out of that relegation zone.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. I think, like, it's been tough. I think, like I said before, we had that spell where we didn't make our performances count with points. I think you look back, you know, there's periods of the season when you look back. I mean, I wasn't here, obviously, at the start, and pre-season at the start. So, you know, whatever went before, I don't know. But all I know is I've come in and, you know, we've tried to push the girls on. You know, we've really worked hard on the way of playing. You can see how we try and play. It works to a certain extent. However, you know, I can't blame the girls. You know, it's been a difficult situation all year from a lot of young players in the team. To be fair, probably most of them shouldn't even be in the first team. They should be dipped in and out. You know, some we've had to rely on week in, week out. Long term, they should learn from it, and long term, they'll become very good players. However, the short term, you know, we've had what we expect from young players, and they've been up and down and inconsistent. Performance today, I can't moan about any of them today. All the subs came on, were young apart from one. You know, they did really well. You know, we didn't give in today. We dominated the game as far as where the game was played was in Seawood's half for most of the game. However, what counts is when you do get in the final third, you have to be more clinical. And we just couldn't find that final cross or just basically get the shot away. We tried, I suppose, because of the pressure, we tried to take an extra touch and it was blocked, or we couldn't get the shot away properly. I think the frustrating thing is, you know, when we relaxed in the last 10 minutes, when the game was gone, the girls played some great football and, you know, we could have scored. We actually could have got back to 4-4. You know, some great, I think the second goal was some great passes. It was probably about 5 or 6 passes with 4 of the subs involved. You know, and I was really chuffed with that because, you know, like I say, they're 16, 17, 18. So really pleased with their impact when they come on. It's just really frustrating in some ways. But, you know, I think whatever else happens now, we said to the girls, the last 3 games, just give it all. That's all we can ask.
Yeah.
You know, we spoke about before the game. There's a mirror on the wall in the change room. I said, end of the game, can you look in the mirror, look at yourself, end of the game, did you give 100%? And we said to him, end of the game, we think you did. And that's all we can ask.
I mean, it's interesting. I was down at the second half of the Wimbledon game, and again, you look at it on paper and 6-0, and it's a hiding. But you look at where Wimbledon are. I mean, they're obviously the best team in the league, or one of the best teams in the league.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you look at the game, there were plenty of chances for you to play football. The difficulty was that I guess really, and it probably comes down to kind of the age of the team and the experience they've got. You're kind of a bit naive perhaps in defence and leaving people too much room, and you just can't give a side like Wimbledon that. But it's not because essentially you're not playing well. It's just that, you know, it's that experience that you're lacking, which you will have with a young team.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch the first 20 minutes, they didn't get out of their own half, Wimbledon. However, when they did, a bit of magic, we just switched off, great strike, 1-0 down when they hadn't got their own half. You know, but again, it's like when you are pressing and when you are winning the ball back, we just have to be a little bit better with them decisions, or a little bit brighter and sharper. And obviously Wimbledon, once they settled down with a better team and beat us quite convincingly, to be fair, but just really because of how clinical they were and how they did the right things in the right areas.
And you say there's, I think, three games left now before the end of the season. Does that, I mean, I would normally say to managers, does that give you a chance to try out the younger players? But that's something you've been doing for a long time now. I guess, where do you go from here? You know, let's assume that the relegation happens. What can you do, do you think, to rebuild a team around a more experienced set of players? Can you attract players in? Will the new stadium help?
Oh, I think you've nailed on the head, the rebuild. I mean, it needed rebuilding, whatever. You know, we're too young. Whether we stay up or go down, it's irrelevant to... There has to be a major rebuilding exercise here. And there has to be a structure put in place. And you know, we need a core of players that are more streetwise. And then the youngsters... You know, I've got no problem playing youngsters in the team, but we've had too many and too many in key positions at times when, you know, you can see that, you know, they're still learning the game. Yeah. You know, very much learning the game. So, yeah, I mean, look, we'll see what happens in the next couple of weeks. I came in with my eyes open. I knew it was going to be really, really tough. To be fair, after the first couple of weeks, I didn't realise how tough it was going to be. But yeah, I think the frustrating thing, we had made massive strides. But again, we had two strikers out today. And I think the problem is there's no strength and depth.
Yeah, and I think that it's no strength in depth, but I think it's also, I mean, Dean's very honest about it, is that they're suffering because they are an incredibly young side. They're fielding players who are 16, 17 and 18 against seasoned professionals who've played at higher levels than this. And they just look, it's not even off the pace. When they play passing football, they can move the ball around. The problem they have is that it's difficult for them to play in the way they want to play. But there you go. Hopefully, there's a possibility they might stay up. I think it's very unlikely. But let's hope that miracles happen. After all, we're expecting them at United. So let's see if we can get them at City as well. I also spoke to Darren actually just after the Wigan win in the Abbey. So this is what he had to say. The differing fortunes slightly, but again, nothing to play for in the league apart from pride, but they have got to play for the plate final coming up on April 23rd. This is what Darren had to say.
Darren, it was a strong Worthing side yesterday, and unfortunately 2-0 defeat, but probably more concerning is you are running out of players rapidly.
Yeah, that is the problem, exactly that, Tim. We are running out of players. Yeah, look, the players that played did themselves credit. We had a spell of 8 minutes where we conceded twice, and that was just as much as anything down to disorganisation, where unfortunately we'd had to make changes for people who had to come off, and just a little bit disjointed for those few minutes while people get familiar to where they're coming on. And in particular, Lily Horsler, who's 16 and just come out of the under-18 side, her first appearance, and, you know, had to throw her into the fire a bit. But yeah, look, it's tough at the moment, but what we are still doing is still fighting. So yesterday our best spell of the game was the last 15 minutes of the game. We changed our shape a couple of times to try and find a way to get back into it, and yeah, look, we hit the post, and we should have scored from a corner. It managed to find its way all the way through and out the other side when it was easier to put a touch on it. But yeah, we've still got positives to take out of it, but it is tough at the moment, but we'll ride through it.
And I guess the other difficulty is, although you've not got anything to play for in the league, you've obviously got the plate final coming up, and those same players are going to be the ones you end up playing there.
Yeah, and yesterday, you know, we're putting players in who really, probably in an ideal world, we wouldn't play. I had at least one that I took, Gisella, who ideally we said we didn't want to put on the pitch, but, you know, I nearly put her on just after half-time when we had another injury problem. Abby Jackson was injured. and decided not to in the end because I was just worried about that I'd lose her for more games than it was worth. So it's, you know, they're the kind of decisions that we're having to make at the moment, whether we put certain people in or just save them a bit, because we're worried about them being out for the rest of the season. So yeah, we are running out of players a little bit. I'm hopeful we'll get a few back at some point before the final, but even though we can't go down and we can't go and get promoted, but we've still got a lot of pride in the season. We had a really good first half of the season, and it'd be really unfortunate if we get undone by just, you know, lack of bodies being able to go out there and do a job. So we still want to finish well if we can. It's tough. We've got Norwich this week coming up, and another tough game on the cards.
But it is weird. It's not a particularly small squad. It's just you have been so unlucky with injuries.
Yeah, because at the early part of the season, I was having conversations with a couple of people at the club, and you know, it was around the fact that we've probably got a squad that's a little too big because we don't have a development team to keep anybody who's over 18 playing at Cambridge United. So, you know, that was the concern early on, and I know how it's been the last 2 years. We ended up with a lot of injuries later in the season. So, I'm glad that we've got the size of squad we have, but even with signing another one, we signed Therese Addison on Friday just before the deadline, and you know, she came on as a sub and within 15 minutes was off again injured, and that's just how it's going for us at the moment. We just can't catch a break. But you know, I'm really proud of the players that were out there yesterday. They worked really hard. The two 16-year-olds did well. Holly Plummer in particular, you know, big mention to her because she put the through ball for Rachel Koski, who hit the post. So you know, they're going out there and they're showing bravery, and that's all we can ask for. And there's still those positives to fall back on, and you know, it's tough, but I still reckon that we can go out there and we can give anybody a game.
And you look at the team, the Worthing team as well, a very, very good side.
Yeah, really good side. You know, that win yesterday takes them up to second in the table, above Norwich. So, yeah, they're a really good side. They've put together a good side before they got promoted up into Tier 4. And they've continued to build. You know, they've got another couple of players that came in the last couple of weeks who've strengthened them again. So they'll be a force to reckon with. The positives to take out of it, some good performances from the 16-year-olds. Some people were really, you know, showing a lot of grit and determination to stay out there and keep battling away. We created a couple of really good chances late in the game, the last 15 minutes, where we should have scored at least one, if not two.
So there we go. It was a difficult game. They are really hit by injuries. I hope it doesn't affect the plate final too much, but there we go. Thanks very much to Daniel for being in the studio, to everyone who joined me on an interview. That's all we've got time for this week, but someone, hopefully without a cough, will be available next week.